Oh my goodness, it is so good to be back, Cromer family. It feels like forever that we've not, well, I mean, it's only Christmas Eve, but since Christmas Eve, but in the, just this morning as we were setting out the chairs and stuff and chatting to people, it was so nice to see family come in. But I honestly was like, come on countdown, like let's start, let's go, let's worship. Like I was so excited and desperate to come back into the presence of God and just know that he is here, right? He's here. Every time we gather together, we are so grateful that the Lord comes and meets us every time, right? He comes, he's faithful. I've probably got mascara down my face, I've been weeping at the front, but he meets us every single time. And we are so incredibly grateful. You know, Steve just said, God is in a good mood. And this morning I'm speaking just a really simple message, to be honest, about seeking the face of Jesus. And as I did that this morning, as I sought the face of Jesus, he smiled at me. And it was just this smile of, you know, the Lord's joy as he meets us. He loves to come into our presence as well. You know, he loves to meet his children. Anyone, a parent here will know, as your child comes and runs up to you and hugs you and squeezes you, you're so thankful to be in their presence just as much as they're thankful to be in ours. And so God comes and meets us every time. He is so faithful. And yeah, this morning I want to just talk about, I guess, that resetting, that realignment. New Year's Day is probably one of my favourite days of the year just because we get to start afresh. I mean, as Christians, every day we grow up and every day we wake up, his mercies are new every day, right? But New Year's Day feels like this resetting, this realignment, our first fruits, our first offering back to the Lord again to say, 2022, lying in the sand, we're so thankful, we're so grateful, but 2023, the Lord has the best year ahead for us. He is going to meet us in powerful ways, and we are going to see his face on the mountaintop, in the valley, wherever we go, we get to see the glory of the Lord. And as his face shines upon us, wherever we go, we take the presence of God. How good he is. How good he is. And you know, many of us, we might have different kinds of New Year's goals. I know normally on my list, it's go back to the gym, get up earlier, be awake before the kids so that I can have some kind of peace before they arrive, read a Bible in a year, eat healthier, whatever it might be. But my conversation with the Lord this year, it was like all of these things were running around in my head, and I was almost making this list in my head of like all the things that I wanted to do. And the Lord just really gently, just, you know, when he nudges you, just nudged me. And it was like in a second, he lifted off all of this weight, all of this almost like we put on these burdens for ourselves to somehow make our lives better this year, right? But he lifted all of that responsibility off and he said, the number one thing is just seek me. Just seek my face. And there's so much rest in that because we don't have to strive. It's not by works. It's just by his grace. And every time we wake up in the morning or we go to bed or we're in the office or we're driving our kids to school, every time we look at the face of Jesus, he's already looking at us. And he calls us into this deeper intimacy with him. And it is absolutely beautiful. Above all else this year, I simply want to seek the face of Jesus. Would that be the top of our list? Would that be our priority, this one thing that we seek? To know him, to gaze upon him, to love him, and to know his love for us. And to be transformed into his likeness, right? Do you know you can't help but be in the presence of God and be transformed? Every time we come into the presence of the King, his glory shines on us and we become like him. We were always created in the image of God. And as we walk back to him and turn to him every second of the day, he transforms our lives. You know, there's lots of things maybe we want to change about our lives. We want to change our attitudes or our routines or our habits or our bodies or whatever it is that we want to transform in our lives. But you know, the only place that brings heavenly transformation is in the presence of God. The only thing that brings transformation, heavenly transformation, is from the Lord. And we only want what flows from his throne room, right? If it doesn't come from his throne room, I don't want it. And as we come back into the presence of God, as we seek his face daily, daily, we're transformed into his likeness, into the likeness of Jesus. Cromer Church, whatever is on our 2023 list of goals, and I'm not saying any of those things are bad, but would the priority be his presence? We are a people of his presence and we seek his face. If you've been to a welcome evening here or leadership training or lots of places in this church, we talk about this one thing, that we are a people of his presence. Everything else bows down to him. When he walks in the room, everything stops and we fix our eyes on him. It's so beautiful as a family of church, as we come together as this family, as this body, that he meets us every time. He meets us every time. He is good. He's in a good mood. He smiles at his children. We're going to look at Psalm 27. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there now. Psalm 27. So this was a psalm written by David. No one really knows, to be honest, when he wrote this, what stage of his life, but it is just this beautiful song of David just seeking the presence of God. And we know, right, that David did this through every stage of his life, where he was a shepherd boy, probably doing the most boring job in the world, no offense to any farmers, but just watching sheep and doing the mundane thing. He sought the presence of God on the fields, right, in the lonely place. In the mundane place, he sought the presence of God. And even in the palace, he sought the presence of God. As he became king, he sought the presence of God. And so there's this heart cry of him as he speaks out this desperation for the presence of God. And this is my prayer, I guess, for us this year. Ready? Verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, some of you have felt like in the last year, an army has besieged you. My heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Here it is. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Just pause there. You can hear this heart cry, can't you? One thing I ask, this is the only thing I seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord. David went through lots of different things, ups and downs in his life, but he sought the presence of God. He uses this language, it's sometimes a bit confusing because he talks about the house of the Lord and then the tabernacle and then the tent and then the dwelling place. And it doesn't really matter. He's not talking about a physical place. What he's saying is, I long to be where the Lord is. Wherever the Lord is, if he's in the Ark of the Covenant, I want to be there. If he's in his tabernacle, I want to be there. I want to be in the dwelling place of the Lord. I want to be where he is. And you say, well, God is with us everywhere, right? As born-again believers, he comes and lives inside of us and he's with us wherever we go. That's true, yes. But there's also these moments as a church family, we come together every Sunday, week in, week out, and the Lord's presence falls thick in the room. God is here. God is here. And sometimes it feels arrogant to say that, but it's only by his mercy and his grace that God is here. He's here this morning. He's here at revival prayer on Tuesdays. He's here at conferences and leaders' gatherings. It's like there's this desperation to run into the presence of God, and we must learn to do that daily in our walk with Christ. But we also find places, wherever he is, I'll go. It's when Steve jets off to Aviviamento so often, because God is there. God is there. I'll go wherever he is. One thing I ask, this only do I seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And then it carries on, just verse 6. What happens as we seek his presence? He says, then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. it changes our perspective when we come into the presence of God. Verse 7, we've just read it, it says, 6, sorry, then my head will be exalted. As we come into the presence of God and we seek his face, our head is exalted above our enemies. It's like we see things from heaven's perspective. And from heaven's perspective, the enemy looks really small. When we come into the presence of God, no matter what we face, we see things from his perspective because we have the King of Glory living inside of us. That's what happens when we worship and when we press into him, no matter what we face. And maybe you're excited about the next year. Maybe you've got some things that you know are going to be challenges and mountains. The Lord says, as you seek my face, I will lift your head. I'll show you how I see things. I'll show you what I think about things. And I'll give you all that you need to press in and to overcome. You know, sometimes we can really complicate the Christian life. I know last year, the Lord really spoke to me about this, actually. It was like, I have to do A, B, and C to get things right, and then I can enter his courts, and I have to, you know, pray in tongues while I see an arm grow out, or whatever it is to reach this spiritual bar and get all my ducks in a row, and then maybe I'll encounter the presence of God. And, you know, we can complicate things in this Christian life, but the Lord spoke and just reminded me, come to me in this childlike faith. Come to me as a child, humble, and receive from me. As we come into the presence of God, maybe you're a long way off the Lord. I don't know where you're at with Jesus in this moment. He says, whoever comes to me, I will give him what he needs. And as you come into the presence of God, every single time he is faithful, he is faithful, he is faithful. He meets us no matter where we're at. We're invited to come and know our Jesus. You know, and we want to be more concerned with his heart than his hand. What I mean by that is we want to be more obsessed with who he is than what he can do through us. Right? You know, he wants to do amazing things through his people. You know, we want to see healings. We want to see cities transformed. We want to see incredible things. But that all flows from the person of Jesus. It's about who he is, who he is. And as we look to the face of God, we recognize his kindness, his mercy, his grace, his faithfulness, his unfailing love. As we get to know him, as we seek after who he is, everything else flows from that place. We're not seeking after works. We're not seeking after miracles. You know, Jesus often had conversations with people as he went around healing people, as he went around casting out demons and feeding the poor and all of this. And people said, do it again. We want another sign. We want another miracle. And he says, you only believe in me because of these miracles. You don't actually want me. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Would we be a people? Would I be a person that runs after the heart of God like David, that runs after who he is more than what he can do for me? We want to be a people who seek his face, not just his hand. Whether it be in the valley or on the mountaintop, whether we're surrounded by enemies or we feel like we're on top of the world, would we continue to seek his face daily? It's got to be daily. It's got to be intentional. We want to run after where God is. No matter what lies ahead, will we choose to seek him? We've looked at the video that Emily made, which is incredible. And I just wanted to share some stories of the last year, actually, where, you know, God's presence was so faithful to us. We're so grateful, right, that every single Sunday, these guys, they're probably out in the studio now, but they lead us into the presence of God. Every week, every Sunday, multiple times throughout the week, they lead us into the presence of God because they're seeking the face of Jesus. And as we come together, we glorify him. We lift his name high. And I want to just say, you know, these guys, they, Chroma Worship, yes, they did. We did massive stadium events this year, which was absolutely incredible. We got to take the presence of God and everything that he's doing in this city. We got to take it to Rotterdam. We got to take it across the world. And I think there's some other dates set this year as well. We get to take what he's doing here and share the gospel, share the presence of God with the rest of the world. But they also sat, they went from stadiums, but they also sat beside a man in Loros. and led him into the presence of God as he was promoted to glory this year. It's both, isn't it? It's in the valley and it's on the mountaintop that we seek the face of Jesus. It's in the stadiums and it's next to a man who's been promoted to glory to seek the face of Jesus. We want to be that church, right? That wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we face, and some of us have had really hard years, I get that. But we are so grateful to God that as we sought his face, he was looking right back up at us. His mercy, his faithfulness. Now we saw, as the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to people, we saw, I did the numbers a couple of days ago, it was 115 people who made a commitment to Jesus and walked forward and gave their life to him last year. 115 people. And you know, he showed up. That's not because there was nice lighting and good coffee and a nice community, right? That's because they walked forward and they met King Jesus. He was here. He revealed himself to them. Salvation isn't this prayer that we say. Salvation is a person. And 115 times we cheered because sons and daughters came home to the person of God. They came home to this King Jesus. And way more than that, by the way. That's the they're the ones that walked forward on the Sunday morning, but also in youth and in kids and on the streets and loads of other places. People are giving their life to Jesus, and we're going to see more. We're going to see more this year. Double it, Lord. Do it again. Do it again. We saw 51 people die in the water, give their life to Jesus as they went under the water at baptism and rose up again to this new life with Christ and declared that he would be Lord of their lives forevermore. We got to baptize 51 people last year. Again, double it. I'm a bit scared saying that, but double it, Lord, double it. We could do it, right? Tim can do it. Tim's the one that has to like dunk them all under and pull them up again and does such a great job. But we want to see it again, right? Do it again, Lord. We're so grateful that he showed up, that his presence was here. I've heard stories after stories at New Life and Revival Prayer where people's lives have been completely transformed. At New Life, there's people that have come who have literally woken up one morning, they've given their life to Jesus, and addiction has just lifted off them. Addiction that's been lasted years and years and years has lifted off them. And I'm like, well, why don't we sit down and we can start reading the Bible together? You know, Matthew is a great place to start. And they're like, oh, I already started in Genesis and I'm already in Esther. I'm like, oh, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Like, you're waking up every day and seeking the face of Jesus. That's his faithfulness, moving in people's lives. We've seen kids literally hear heaven in the children's ministry. Some of the children have actually told me that they've seen angels in their bedroom, that they have dreams where Spider-Man and Jesus are beating the monsters. How cool is that? That's not like a, oh, that's sweet. That's like a yes and amen. Yes and amen. Who's stronger, Jesus or Spider-Man though? That's an important thing to teach. But our children are seeking the face of Jesus and he always shows up. Our youth, our A-level youth particularly, you guys, have literally seen incredible things. Paris, I don't want to pull you out, but she shared this story before, but Paris literally gave her life to Jesus. She shared this at her baptism. She went home, her auntie came over to her mum's house and was just hanging out and said, I've got this really horrible pain in my stomach, it's been here for months, and Paris just said, well, let me pray for it. So she put her hands on her aunt's stomach, declared healing, and the pain completely left in an instant. And the lump left. Yeah. This is all because he shows up, because he is faithful. Because as we seek the face of God, he is always faithful and he shows up. On the mountaintop, we seek his presence, but also in the valley. You know, we've heard amazing stories and the Lord is going to do it all again. But I also want to just share that actually there's been some hard times in the last year as well. I faced probably one of the hardest things I've ever faced in my life as a pastor, as I received a phone call one morning to say that one of our students at 21 had just died overnight. And you know, those moments when you go, what do I do with that? Where do I go with that? Back to Jesus. always back to Jesus. And I want to just say, our student community, it was such a privilege to see them as they gathered together. They not only mourned together and prayed together and comforted one another, but they ran back to Jesus and they worshipped him with everything they had. We prayed and we rose up as an army that we would see resurrection life in Leroy. We prayed, we declared that life would come back into his body. Steve bowed down outside the morgue and declared life over his body. We didn't see it, but what did we see? We saw the face of Jesus. We saw the face of Jesus, this deeper intimacy with him, where we put aside our disappointment and we put aside the things that we did or didn't see. And we said, we are going to fix our eyes on Jesus because he is worthy no matter what. No matter what we see or what we don't see, the nature of God is that he is good and he is faithful and he is the healer and he is our salvation. And we will worship him in the valley and on the mountaintop. No matter what we face, this one thing I seek is to be where God is, to be in his temple. And would we take that as we go into this next year? All the amazing things that the Lord did and all of the challenges we face. You know, the Lord never says this life is going to be easy. He says you're going to face trouble in this life, but don't worry, do not fear. What? I have overcome. I have overcome. And the one who overcomes lives in us. But it's easy as we go through life to just look at the storm and look at the difficulties and look at the things we're facing. But as we realign in this new day, this new year, and we fix our eyes on King Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, he reminds us that he overcame and he overcomes and he will overcome. And we step into that truth and that reality. That's what David's talking about when he says, now I've sought your presence, you lift my head up above my enemies. Because as we seek the face of Jesus, we recognize who he is, what he's done, who lives inside of us, and we see his perspective for things, and we glorify him because he is worthy because of who he is, not what we see on this earth. Amen? Amen. In Revelation, we get some details about the face of Christ, and I just wanted to just read some of those with us, because as we gaze upon his beauty, we get to know the nature of Christ. And so it talks about his eyes, Jesus' eyes, that blaze with fire. You can read it in Revelation 19 if you want a deep read today. You can go and read that. But he talks about this revelation of Jesus, that his eyes blaze with fire. And I don't know what that means for you. For me, it communicates furious love for his people, absolute unconditional pursuit of his sons and daughters, passion, fire in his eyes, mercy over his children. And you know, daily as we seek the face of the Lord, would you look into his eyes? Would we look into his eyes, Cromer Church, and would we know his mercy and his furious love for us? Would we know him as he looks back at us as this fiery love for us? Would we understand it? Would we see him? It says, on his head are many crowns. He is worthy and he is the rightful king. He is worthy. He rides in on this white horse full of authority, full of this mighty power that overcomes in any situation. He rides in on the white horse. His eyes blazing with fire. Would we see Jesus when we go into school, when we go into the office, when we drive on the road and someone cuts us up? Would we see Jesus riding on a white horse, his eyes blazing with fire, full of authority, full of kingship, full of love for us? It says that he's dressed in a robe that's dripped in blood. Now, we also read that he's dressed in this white robe. He's dressed in both, right? Because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. Because he chose the cross, as we see him, this son of suffering, we see him on one hand on this cross, this son of suffering who takes all of our sin and all of our guilt and all of our shame on himself so that we could live free. He then overcomes death. It's the gospel, right? He overcomes death. He rises from the dead and he's dressed in this white robe. And the best bit is that we are dressed in that white robe too. He walks up to his sons and daughters and he robes us in white. We are pure, we are forgiven, we are forever free because of this King Jesus. And as we turn and face back to him, as we seek his face daily, would we see those things? Would we see his eyes that blaze with fire? Would we see the crown of his authority? Would we see him riding on a white horse? Would we see him in this white robe, perfectly holy, perfectly pure, declaring that his children also walk in that freedom? Declaring that actually as we walk through life, we don't have to feel any condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are spotless and we are pure. And maybe you need to hear that again this morning. Just as Juliet said, there's a line under the sand. His mercy is new every day. And as you're here this morning, Jesus is picking you out. He's calling you by name and he's saying, child, I died on the cross for you. And I'm robing you in white linen, clothing you with my righteousness and saying that you are completely free and you are completely forgiven. And we're to do this daily. Just quickly to finish, you know, some of the practical things that I believe that we're to do as we seek the face of Jesus. The first thing is actually for some of us to clear out the clutter. Do you know that song? I'm clearing out the clutter for the only thing that matters. That dropped into my head when we had a crazy Christmas in Devon. Actually, there was 14 people in the house for 9 days. And I think the age range is between 6 weeks old and seven people in their 70s. Don't worry, mum and dad, I won't tell them how old you are. But there was like this whole load of people, crazy fun, like amazing time, but just full on, right? Anyone else full on Christmas? And I just remember I came home a couple of days ago and I just remember feeling this excitement to clear out my house. I was like, I can... Joel is saying amen, my husband. I have to admit, I am a little bit of a, not, I'm not a hoarder, but I just don't like, I find it hard to part with things. Anyway, but we've got all these new toys, right? And all these new clothes. And I'm like, right, I actually feel excited to just get rid of the junk and get rid of the clothes and get rid of some old toys. And you know, we have to get rid of the old coffee machine to make space for Joel's air fryer. And we have to get rid of some of Elijah's toys because he's got this Batmobile, thanks Steve and Juliet, and this huge Batmobile that he drives around. But we have to get rid of the clutter. And you know, that's also true for our lives with Jesus. As we go on this journey of realigning ourselves and actually prioritizing his presence even more, I know we're doing it already, but even more, as we go after the more of what God has for us, we have to let go of some things. We have to go, Lord, is there anything in my life that isn't producing fruit? Is there anything in my life that distracts me from your word, from your presence? What is it? Help me to clear out the clutter. And for some of us, it might be really practical things. It might be a Netflix show that we've been stuck in, or just time on the TV, time on the PlayStation. Time reading books. I literally don't read books, so I don't get that one. But whatever it might be, like, is there time that you're spending over and over again when it should be the presence of God? For me, it's going to bed on time, getting up earlier. What is the clutter in our life, the thing that is prioritised over him? Because he's the one thing we seek, right? He's the one thing we seek, and everything else has to bow down to him. What is it? What is the clutter? Maybe it's the headspace. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's greed. Whatever is taking the space that the Lord should have. What is it that we're surrendering and we're sacrificing for the Lord? It starts with clearing out the clutter. It starts with going to him and saying, Lord, would you show me any area of my life that is not aligned with heaven, that is not heading towards you, Jesus, that is not transforming my life? Would you show me? And would you help me and give me the grace to give it up? Would you help me to surrender it? Would you help me, Lord? We need to clear out the clutter. Secondly, we need to prepare the way. You know, John, who was Jesus's cousin in the Bible, he just before Jesus starts the ministry, his ministry, John says, prepare the way, prepare the way, make straight the paths for the Lord to come. And for me, that just really excites me because, do you know, God is absolutely sovereign, hear me, and he can blow through wherever he wants to. He has permission in our lives to come and show up and move whenever he wants to. But there is also an invitation for us in that. Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way. What does that look like? What does it look like to make straight the paths? You know, I spent a glorious 2 hours in a coffee shop yesterday on my own, just having some peace. And I was like, Lord, what does it look like to prepare the way? And he said, some things offend me and I want you to stop them. You know, sometimes preparing the way for the Lord means going, Lord, what offends you in my life? Is it gossip? Is it slander? Anyone who feels a conviction from the Holy Spirit knows what those things are, right? Even putting down your makeup bag and just seeking my face. What is it that offends the Lord? What is it that we've prioritized over him? And as we prepare the way, we let go of those things. A thankful heart pleases the Lord. He always rests on a thankful heart. And so, you know, just as we've done in worship, as we go home today, what are we thankful for? A really good practice I've learned in my life, just to be really, really practical with you, is to write 10 things out that I'm thankful for. And every so often, I'll just go back to it and write another 10 things and another 10 things. Just really quickly, what are 10 things you're thankful for in your life? And you can read over it and meditate on it. Because the Lord, it says, enter his courts with thanksgiving. The Lord loves a thankful heart. As we step into recognizing who he is and what he's done in our lives, he wants to do it again. As we steward what he's done well, he gives us more. He increases what he's doing in our lives as we recognize what he's already done. So we clear out the clutter, we prepare the way for the Lord, and we seek his face above all else. Above all else. I believe that in 2023, he wants to do more in our lives, more in this church than ever before. Not just because that's a nice thing to say, but because it's his promise. He is always increasing. His government is always increasing. He always wants to do more. He has more peace for you. He has more joy for you. He has more family restoration for you. He's in the business of healing. He's in the business of saving. He's in the business of transforming our lives. He loves to see whole families, whole cities transformed. Revival, we go on about it all the time because we believe the Lord at his word that he wants to do it. We've seen it before in this land. Lord, would you do it again? Would you do it again? That's our heart's cry. But it always comes from seeking his face and then his hand moves. We seek the face of the Lord. I believe that he wants to wake us up to the reality of who he is over and over again this year. And as the earth shakes, as this nation shakes, he will be glorified. He will be revealed because people won't know where else to look. And they'll look to the face of Jesus and they will see his eyes that burn with fire. They'll see mercy in his eyes. They'll see his heart cry for his people. And we get to be a part of that story. How cool is that? So what does it look like? In 2 Corinthians 4, let me just read this to finish. Paul says this, we don't preach ourselves, but rather the Lordship of Jesus Christ, for we are servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let brilliant light shine out of darkness, is the one who cascaded his light into us, the brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus. This glorious knowledge of the glory of the Lord is revealed to us as we seek the face of Jesus. Would that be our priority this morning, this year? Would that be our number one thing? And as Jesus arrives on the scene, so John says, prepare the way of the Lord. And then a few verses later, he says, look, the Lamb has come to die for our sin. He is here. He is here. As we realign ourselves, Cromer Church, would we say one thing I ask, one thing I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon his beauty all the days of our lives? Would that be our prayer? Would that be our declaration? Would that be our commitment as we look to the face of Jesus this year? Yeah? Amen? Amen. I'm done. Why don't you stand? We're going to worship.